Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello there, friends and family, far and wide. Welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon. It is no longer the most wonderful time of the year, but it is New Year. So happy New Year. Happy 2025. We are officially in a fresh calendar. We have a clean slate. And if you're like me, you might actually stick to your New Year's resolutions this year. Nope, just kidding, because I don't have them. Spoiler alert, but let's be real. We all know that gym membership is going to turn into a very generous donation by March. And if it's a treadmill, I will give you a very up close and personal recommendation that a treadmill actually makes a great storage rack for clean clothes. Very useful from personal experience, I can be saying. But, you know, really, here we are standing at the doorstep of a brand new year. It is 2025. Can you believe that? It is exciting, but it's a little bit scary. But New Year's is the time when we all take a deep breath. We look back. We realize, wow, we made it through the ups, the downs, the sideways. We are here. If you are here listening, we are here together. And you know what? That is no small thing. Families, you have done incredible work. Parents, you have juggled jobs and kids and dinner while secretly wishing that mac and cheese could qualify as a healthy food or a vegetable. It doesn't. And kids have conquered math homework. And husbands and wives, you've made it through at least 365 conversations, if your marriage is anything like mine, that consist of, what do you want for dinner? Well, I don't care. What do you want for dinner? How about tacos? Well, maybe not tacos. And my husband has made it another year, thanks to my faithful passenger princess guidelines, making sure that he stays safe. You're welcome, honey. But we have navigated the back and forth that happens when I try to donate his t-shirts with holes in them. They come back in the house and I send them back out. But in all seriousness, there have been some hard things this year too. And it feels like that is nothing new. That feels like a familiar rhythm. Now, my favorite Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life. That's a heartwarming movie about a very serious subject. And one of my favorite lines in that movie is when the angel Joseph inquires about the trouble that his new charge, George Bailey, is having. And he says, is he sick? And the response is, no, worse, he's discouraged. And when they start singing Auld Lang Syne, I start getting really nostalgic and reflective. And New Year's is a time for reflection and celebration and a sense of renewal. But I know that many of us, and to some extent, me included, we're coming into 2025 wanting to feel hopeful, but we are fighting back feeling discouraged. And we're standing at an unexpectedly feeling significant crossroads. I listened to myself say 2025, and I thought, how can it be 2025? And I want to look back with gratitude. I want to look forward with faith. But there's something that feels extraordinary about this moment. It feels like a major milestone, but also I was really convicted that God is giving us a divine invitation. And we look back at all of the New Year's that we've had. At 2019, we had no idea what 2020 carried for us. We thought 2021 would be a lot better. It really wasn't. And then we thought, well, maybe in 2022, and we continue to look forward. But let's take a moment to think back to one of the most unforgettable New Year's Eves in living memory. That would be Y2K. Do you remember that? The world held its breath as the clock ticked toward midnight. Would the computers crash? Would planes fall from the sky? Nobody wanted to fly that night. Would this technological glitch unravel our modern lives? I remember my husband and I went out to dinner, and then we didn't have internet or smartphones or anything. And we came back and just sat in our apartment and thought, okay, is this the way that the world is going to end? But then nothing happened. And I mean nothing. There were fireworks, people hugged, people cheered, but the world kept spinning. The computers did not go back to 1900, planes did not crash, the world did not end. And it was a reminder even then that we can worry all we want, but God, Those are my two favorite words in the history of ever, but God holds our tomorrows in his hands. And here we are now in 2025. We are 25 years now into the 21st century, a quarter of the way to the next. That is unbelievable. Think about this. A child born this year will very well, most likely live to see the turn of the century, 2100. Imagine the changes, the breakthroughs, the trials, and the triumphs they'll witness. And that is a reminder that while we can't predict the future, we do serve a God who sees it all. He is the Alpha and Omega, who holds time itself in his grasp. And why does 2025 feel so significant? Well, it does feel like a marker in history. It feels like a year that symbolizes resilience and hope. And the past few years have tested us collectively very deeply. We've had global challenges. We've had personal losses. We've had a pandemic. We've had political chaos. We've had violence. We've had unrest. We've had major times of uncertainty. But through it all, God has been faithful. And this year is an opportunity to lean into his promises, to be his hands and feet in a world that is in desperate need of light and love. It is a chance to shape the future with bold faith, confident that we serve a God who works all things for good. Did you catch that? All things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So as we step into this new year, I want to share that conviction I have for a divine invitation to remember those monumental New Year's moments of the past, like Y2K, where we saw that our fears just paled in comparison to God's sovereignty. And let's instead think about the incredible potential for kids who are born today, who will walk a path we can only imagine. And most of all, let's trust that the same God who carried us to this moment will guide us forward, because 2025 isn't just another year. It is a grace-filled reminder that the best is yet to come, because God is with us every step of the way and has designed us to live eternally in paradise with him. And today in particular, our hearts are very heavy. I was just talking with my team before we went live. We come together to mourn yet again tragic events that unfolded in New Orleans. A senseless act of violence in the French Quarter has left at least 15 people dead. At the last news report that I saw, many others injured. And I felt like yesterday was another avalanche of horrific headlines and people experiencing grief and hardship. And my heart goes out to you. And in times like these, I feel like words are just inadequate. We grapple with grief and confusion and really a profound sense of loss. We've lost our sense of safety. And to the families who have lost loved ones, no matter the circumstance, to those who are tending to the sick and injured, to the entire New Orleans community and the entire nation and the world, whoever is impacted by this, we extend our deepest condolences. And we share that pain together as we see heartbreak, heartbreak, heartbreak. But here I am to tell you that even in the shadow of such darkness, we are called to seek the light. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." In our mourning, we can find comfort in knowing that God is near, and we can share that comfort and strength to all who call upon him. And in the midst of all this tragedy, we also are privileged to bear witness to the resilience and the courage of the human spirit in the face of tragedy, those who have a hope that doesn't disappoint. We're talking first responders, healthcare professionals who are near and dear to my heart, but even just ordinary citizens have demonstrated extraordinary courage, extraordinary compassion, rushing to aid those in need, and their selfless actions are a testament to the enduring goodness that prevails even amidst evil. Now, I am a Gen X kid and grew up watching Mr. Rogers, and I remember him saying, "Look for the helpers. You will always find the helpers." And And as helpers, we reflect the hope that God is our helper. He is a stronghold. He is a refuge. And so as we navigate the difficult days ahead, as we face other challenges that are yet unseen, I challenge you to hold fast to our faith, hold fast to each other. We can be instruments of peace. We can extend love and support to our neighbors. We can stand united, knowing that God is good, even when the world is not. And in doing so, we encourage others with our faith. We honor the memories of those we've lost. We pave the way for healing and hope. We give encouragement to our friends and families and neighbors and communities around us that we have a hope in something greater and something eternal. And specifically to the city of New Orleans, we know that you in that city have faced adversity before, and each time you've risen with unwavering strength. So we pray for you, we pray with you, that God's grace would sustain you, that his peace that surpasses all understanding guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, often as adults, as we're praying, as we're talking about these things, we discuss current events with other adults in our home or our social circles, and we talk about those things right over the heads of our kids. And we think, oh, they're not really listening. But the truth is, their minds are like police scanners monitoring our conversations constantly. That is how they're designed to learn. That is how they gauge their safety, their physical safety, their mental, emotional safety, their social safety. And we also might think, our kids are too young to understand. They're too young to care about what's happening. But even very young children see images of these stories that are happening on the news. And Gen Z in particular, now Gen Alpha, they have a very global view of the world. And even yesterday, as I was talking to one of my teenage sons who doesn't have social media, who we hadn't talked about the events at all, asked me a question out of the blue about it. It is inevitable that they will hear about it. So I encourage you to take the time to be intentional in initiating conversation with your kids about it. And you may think, oh, I don't want to talk about things like that with them. If you leave a void in that conversation, you are going to let them construct their own narrative. And that is a dangerous place to be because they do not have the cognitive development. They don't have the emotional maturity. They don't have the spiritual depth to be able to process that in a healthy way. So it's best for you to bring it up to them, for you to be positioned as that safe person, as that person who is the expert and who is the place of security and comfort, who's talking to them in a developmentally appropriate way. And it helps them to develop effective coping skills and to know that things will happen, but I am safe with God. God cares for me and loves me. It cultivates curiosity and gives you such a great opportunity to guide the development of a biblical worldview. That is something that we are going to be talking about a lot here in 2025. And that doesn't come through judgy lectures or formal lessons, but just by organically leveraging their natural interests. So here are four questions that you can ask your family, no matter the age or stage of your kids, but just ask them, what have you seen or heard about on the news that makes you feel afraid? How is what you've seen and heard making you feel? What can I do to help you feel safe? It doesn't matter if your kid is 4 or 14 or 40. Having your parent ask that would be very comforting. And then ask, what do you think you can do to help the people who are impacted? I'll never forget when I was taking care of children who had been injured in a school shooting in my community, and I was caring for them in the hospital, and my kids wanted to write cards to them expressing hopeful thoughts and prayers to them. And that really empowered them to know that they could do something good in the world. Well, when we come back, I'll be talking about New Year's resolutions. Should you have them? Should you not? What should they be if they are? I'll share with you mine, and we'll talk about what we're going to do here on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show as a New Year's resolution for this year. I know, but I said I wasn't going to have a resolution. So what's the deal with that? I'll tell you when we come back on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. For Dr. Nurse Mama, I'm Jessica Peck.
See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. And look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from His side. No greater sacrifice. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done.
Welcome back, friends. That song is What He's Done by Passion, and I do praise God for what He has done in 2024, for the ways that He has strengthened and sustained us and been there in the most terrible of times and the most wonderful of times. And as we listen and think about what God has done through Passion, Gen Z is at Passion right now, a conference for college students in Atlanta. And I know that God always does a great work in that. And so I encourage you just to stop and to say a prayer for college students who will be attending that. And for any young people, say a prayer for Gen Z that God would capture their hearts and that He would renew their minds and spirits and give them hope for tomorrow. And we are looking at tomorrow, but today is 2025. Can you believe it? And as I was saying in the first segment, there's a lot of terrible headlines, and we could view 2025 as a Pandora's box of awfulness that's just waiting to pop open like a scary jack-o'-lantern, or we could see it as it is. It is a jack-in-the-box. I have to catch myself. Okay. Or we could see it as what it is, a glorious gift that we have been given by God. It is a time to dream again, to believe that what seems impossible today could be possible tomorrow, for nothing is impossible with our God. This is the season of new things. Think about Isaiah 43:19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? There will be new dreams, new joys, maybe new adventures, new life stages. Like maybe even finally figuring out how to work the remote. I don't know. I mean, anything could happen in 2025. And we can't sugarcoat it, because life is not going to suddenly become perfect just because we decide that our mindset is different. There will be spills to clean. There will be tempers to calm. There will be socks that disappear in the washing machine. And there will be even greater tragedy. There will be. It's a part of life. But here is the good news. You don't have to face any of it alone. God is with us walking beside us, holding us up, reminding us to laugh, to cry, that there's a season for everything. God is with us. We just came through the season of Emmanuel, reminding us that God came near in this imperfect world. And so what do you say? We embrace this year with hope in our hearts, with laughter on our lips, with coffee in our hands. I will definitely have that. And we chase those dreams that God is giving us. We love each other fiercely. We face the days with courage and hope. And we remember that no matter how big or small our challenge is, God's grace is bigger still. And so here is to a year of family dinners, bedtime prayers, dad jokes, and may your home be filled with faith and hope and joy that keeps you smiling even when you happen to step on a stray Lego, right? That's the worst. But let's talk New Year's resolutions. I know it's not Friday, but I'll answer this question I get often. Am I in favor? Do I have New Year's resolution? The answer is actually no, sort of. Now, that doesn't mean you're wrong if you have them. In fact, I admire your intention, but here are some truths that I saw from Drive research that I'll share with you about 2024. How many people make New Year's resolutions? Well, about 3 in 10 Americans made a resolution last year in 2024. And young people are more likely to make a resolution than old people. I guess older people, and I mean those over 30. Yeah, that hurts, doesn't it? I guess we're just older and cynical and set in our ways and we've just given up, because 62% of those who do make resolutions say, I feel pressured, like I should, like it's a good thing to do. And 80% of people who set goals feel confident, hey, I can stick to these resolutions, but only about 20% of you actually do. Now, that's not a judgment, that's just a fact. And of those who don't make resolutions, the main reason you don't is you just don't want to. That's 70% of Americans who say, yeah, I just don't want to. Other reasons to say, you know what, I don't want to set myself up to fail. I don't want to forget about it. And of course, there is a predictable common theme when it comes to making New Year's resolutions. That is, whether it's sticking to a better diet or working out more, health and wellness is number one by far. In fact, almost 80% of New Year's goals involve improving your health. That can be being more active, increasing your fitness, boosting your mental health, eating a better diet. Only 6% of adults make resolutions to travel more. And some of those other resolutions are meditation or drinking less, which we'll talk about later this month, and better work performance. And the younger you are, the more likely you are to have fitness-related resolutions. Again, I find this somewhat depressing, but it's not a judgment. It's just a fact. And how many of those New Year's resolutions come true? Well, recent research shows that just about 9% of Americans actually keep their resolutions throughout the whole year. That is a dedicated bunch. I salute you. I commend you. And a planner is the most common method of accountability for those who are making New Year's resolutions. You check that off. And why do they fail? Why are they so unsuccessful? Why do 92% of adults not follow through? Well, the reason is just that you just lose sight of your initial resolution and you just fall off the wagon, so to speak. Now, interestingly enough, Friday is a popular day for goal setters to say, forget it, I'm not going to do it anymore. And so more specifically, people are most likely to quit on the second Friday of the month. And there's a social media trend calling it Quitter's Day. So there you are. 23% of adults will quit their New Year's goals by the end of the first week of January, which is just a few days away. That means it's easier said than done. And I think at this point, we can all agree on one thing. Whether you adopt resolutions or not, it's really hard to stick to New Year's resolutions. But here is the good news. Life is not about perfection. It's about progress. And I am more of a fan of cultivating healthy rhythms over resolutions. And rhythms are sustainable. They are life-giving. They're about weaving habits into the fabric of our daily lives, not just chasing a specific arbitrary goal. And the health benefits, incredible. I shared that with you all throughout the year last year. We'll be sharing even more information with you this year. And those benefits are physical, emotional, and spiritual. And when we invest in small, consistent practices, we will see transformation over time. So last year, if you're a faithful listener, and thank you to those of you who are, we introduced the 52 Habits for Healthy Families right here on this show, the first week of January. And it has been such a blessing to hear how many of you joined our journey. And if you're new, don't worry, we are diving back in. We are starting over, revamped, revised, and recycled, because we know that these are things that we need to continue to work on. And you are so welcome to join us. You can also catch up on the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes on any podcast platform if you want to catch up on those habits. But each week, here's how it works. We'll tackle a simple, impactful habit. Some will challenge you. Others will feel like a natural fit. Others you'll already be excelling in. But all of them are designed to bring your family, no matter the age or stage, closer to health and wholeness. Now, I promised you transparency, so here goes, even though it's painful. The first part's not painful. My most adopted habit from last year, you want to know what that was? I'll give you the top three-ish. My first two, hands down, prayer and scripture memory. I do not know how I would have survived all that I faced this year without the hope provided in my direct connection to my Heavenly Father and the Word of God to nourish and sustain and encourage me with timeless truths. I was definitely in prayer constantly. I was memorizing scripture constantly. And even yesterday, I was so delighted to get into one of my daughter's cars, and she had taken a note card with her scripture for the year and taped it to her glove box so that anytime she gets in the car, she is reminded of that verse for the year that she is claiming as hers. And that was really encouraging to me, because habits are caught. They're not taught. Our kids will do what we do, not what we say. Now, one of the other habits that's completely unrelated, but that I've been really different about this year, is being in pictures with my kids. You may have heard me talking about that on the show, because let's face it, Gen Z likes to take the most unflattering photos. They are the Be Real generation. We try to make every photo look like Olin Mills. Does anybody remember that? Or, you know, a glamour shots maybe. But Gen Z photos are so disposable, and they want authenticity over everything. So I have really stopped being critical and feeling like every photo has to be perfect. My kids do not look at my photos and see aging lines or crow's feet. They see the footprint of me woven into the very tapestry of their lives. And so that is something that I am not criticizing myself in photos, because then my kids think, well, great, you don't like the way you look because I look just like you. So we have all got to stop doing that. And especially all the mamas out there, we're the worst. The third habit I've embraced this year the most is loving each life stage. I am in a season of major transition. I'm launching all of my kids into adulthood in 5 years. It is a lot of in and out and moving and transitions and milestones, but I want my kids to know I love who they are becoming just as much as I love who they used to be. I do not need to make them feel guilty for growing up and leaving me. That is my job. I have to find joy in the new phases, and I know that they are watching me do that, and I have gotten really good at that this year. But here's the hard part. The habit I struggle with the most, I am stalling. It is, I feel like we need a drum roll here, clutter. That is my worst habit. I am such a pack rat. I feel my husband saying, amen, yes, you are. Is this going to be finally the year? I grew up going without what I needed sometimes. A lot of times I feel panicky when I don't save something. I don't have a lot of tangible childhood mementos, so I save everything for my kids, and I appreciate that way more than they do. It drives my husband crazy. But we have help on the way. I'm so excited to share with you. You may have heard a guest we had on a couple of times last year named Kathy Lipp, who has written 3 books about clutter, who has a Clutter Academy. She is going to be a regular feature. We're going to have her on once a month in 2025. And I'm going to share with you my decluttering diaries. Now, some of you don't struggle with this at all. And if you don't, Send me all your tips. I would love to hear them. If you do struggle, you can struggle right along with me and my producer. I told her I was outing her today. We both struggle with this so much. She's a little further in the journey than I am, and we are going to share our struggles with you together and discover some of those spiritual roots of why we struggle with that and how it's impacting our emotional and mental health. Now, here's where God has a sense of humor, because the second thing I struggled with the most is Sabbath, having Sabbath rest. Now, Kathy also wrote a book called Sabbath Soup and talked about it, adopting those rhythms of rest on Sabbath. So God has a sense of humor. He has apparently just crafted her heart to convict me. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. And we'll be sharing that. My next worst habits are all tech related. I'm sure so many of you out there can relate to this. Tech tracking, tech tidying, tech free times. I gave you all the advice. I want to say I took it. I want to say I did well, but I didn't. I did not do well. I can make excuses, but I have 4 self-professed, self-appointed accountability partners. Those are my kids, who will quickly call me out. So I'm going to try again this year. And guess what? I will be taking that journey right alongside you. So remember, it's not about adding more to your plate or chasing an impossible ideal. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. It's about being intentional. It's about creating space for what matters most. And adopting these habits has been transformative and completely changed the way that I look at healthy habits, and something that could reshape how we think about growth and change. So sometimes when we think about these habits that we have, we think, oh my goodness, it's just something else for me to do, and I have to check a box, and then I'll feel like, okay, I'm doing a good job. But I'm going to help you do something called habit stacking. Now, maybe you've heard the term before, maybe you've heard me talk about it, or maybe it's new to you, but it is worth exploring together. Habit stacking is all about building one healthy habit on top of another so that they naturally flow into your day. The key is to tie new habits to the rhythms you already have, and that makes it easier for them to become a seamless part of your life. So for example, if you already brew coffee every morning, you make a habit like journaling a quick thing of gratitude, keeping a gratitude journal by the coffee maker, or just simply saying a prayer while your coffee is brewing, rather than standing there watching the timer count down during those few minutes it takes for your coffee to be ready. And soon, gratitude or prayer becomes as natural as that first sip of coffee. But again, it's not about what you do. It's about who you are. And when you come back from this break, when we come back, I'll talk more about those and what the 52 Habits for Healthy Families journey will look like and what you can expect in 2025 on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show as we walk alongside you with prescriptions for hope. And we'll see you on the other side of this break.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Hey, heard you were up all night, thinking about how your world ain't right, and you wonder if things will ever get better, and you're asking why is it always raining on you, when all you want is just a little good news, instead of standing there
Welcome back, friends. It will make you stronger. Listen, that is by Mandisa. And I smile every time I hear that song because I think about when my daughter was going through a particularly difficult class. She told me she would just blast that song every day she was walking to class. And it was such a great reminder. And by the way, listening to uplifting, faith-filled music is one of our habits that we'll be talking about this week. We've been inviting you to join us on a journey to develop 52 habits for healthy families. This is how it works. Every Friday, we will talk about the healthy habit of that week. I'll give you a scripture that anchors that habit, and we'll talk about how we can integrate that into our daily lives. I was telling you before the break about habit stacking, and habits are not about what we do. This is not about a legalistic ladder that you can climb to become a better person. It is not about what you do. It's about who you are becoming. And with every healthy rhythm that you add, every healthy habit, you are actually shaping your character and your identity. So you're no longer someone who exercises or someone who reads scripture every day or someone who knows how to take deep breaths when you're stressed. Over time, you actually become a person who values movement, who seeks God daily, who carries peace into stressful situations. These habits define your character, not because you're perfect, but because you're committed, you're connected to a deeper spiritual journey. And here's the part that requires some grit. Now, cultivating the discipline to make these habits stick is much easier said than done. These are habits that are very simple, but somehow they're not easy. And when we talk about things like discipline can sound daunting, but I like to think of it as a muscle we build. And, you know, I think back to the time after I had all of my kids really close together, and I've never been really athletic. I wish that I was, but I'm not. But after I had all of my babies, I thought, okay, I really need to pay attention to my physical fitness. So I joined this workout group, and it was awful. Honestly, I hated it, and I struggled through it. I did not have a good attitude. And finally, one day, the trainer came over, and she said, you know, it starts being fun when you get good at it. And so my takeaway from that is, okay, so it's never going to be fun because I don't think I'm ever going to be good at this. But our spiritual disciplines are the same way. Our emotional, our relational disciplines are the same way. It is laborious when it is not ingrained into our daily life. It is not fun. But once we get good at it, then it starts to be a source of respite. It starts to be a source of strength, and it cultivates resilience. And so that's why we cannot set these big, lofty goals on New Year's. We have to start small and focus on progress over perfection, being consistent. I mean, trust me, you do not need to overhaul your life overnight. You do not need to exercise and drink enough water and read your Bible every day and, you know, just all of those things that you think this big long list. Pick one habit, link it to something you already do, and then just add the next habit when the first feels automatic. That's why it's a journey. And tomorrow I'll be talking in depth about the first habit of this week, and it is the same as last year, and I'll give you a preview. It's prayer. We cannot do anything on our own strength. So before we even start this journey, we're going to ask God to help us, to meet us in the messy middle here where we are, and help us to cultivate those healthy habits. But what is really amazing is how these small intentional actions just snowball into a healthier, more fulfilling life. And, you know, it's hard to go through the things that we go through. It's hard to develop healthy habits, but it's really hard to go through those difficult things in life without having those disciplines like prayer and gratitude and listening with your face. So you're just choosing what part of your life is going to be difficult. And wouldn't you want to cultivate that in that difficult task that is going to give you a reward? Because discipline isn't just about doing those hard things. It's about making them so ingrained that they're not hard anymore. They feel effortless, just a part of who you are. And here's the most faith-filled part of all. As we layer these habits, we reflect the truth found in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. God invites us to work out our faith with fear and trembling, to be more like Christ, to develop the fruits of the Spirit. And by cultivating those disciplines that align with God's design for us, we are stepping into the identity that he has already declared over us. We are his kids. And so let's stack some habits this year. I invite you to join on this journey. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to make progress. And maybe that's starting with prayer before meals. Maybe that's adding a walk before dinner. We'll see what convicts you as we take this journey together. And if you'd like to share with us the way that this journey impacted you last year, you can go to drnursemama.com and there's a contact us button at the top of the page. And you can send us a message that will tell us and that will share with us how this has helped you, because it is so encouraging to hear those positive stories from other people. And thank you to those of you who have already shared. Maybe it's reading a Bible verse before bed and then reflecting on a blessing from the day. These are not just actions. They are declarations of who we are and who we are becoming. We are people living on purpose. We are families growing in faith. We are nurturing the lives entrusted to us. And I am going to walk you through it every step of the way. So tune in on Fridays. I'll introduce that week's healthy habit. I'll answer questions about it. And I'll encourage you with scripture that is found like in the verse Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And friends, I'm not going to give up this year. I'm not giving up on this journey. I'm not giving up on you. I'll be praying for you and praying for us to develop healthy rhythms as the good seeds that we are planting, trusting that God will grow a harvest of peace and joy and health and hope in his perfect timing. So grab your family, share this journey with a friend. Let's embrace 2025 with grace and hope and healthy rhythms together. You will hear my victories, my missteps, and everything in between, and I'll be cheering for you every step of the way. Here are some other things that you can expect from the Dr. Nurse Mama Show coming up in 2025 as my producer and I are planning the year for you. We want to serve you and meet you where you are. We'll be sharing with you a weekly scripture that correlates with the healthy habit. We'll be sharing with you on Fridays, as I told you, 52 habits for healthy families. Another feature that we are going to have is something we're calling Mental Health Mondays. We did a lot of shows last year on mental health, but throughout the year, we're going to have some designated Mondays where we will be focusing on topics of mental health. And that is something that is on all of our minds. And we'll talk about the balance of recognizing real mental health needs and getting the help that you need, and also not over-medicalizing every human emotion that we have, because as we talk about mental health more and stigma decreases, just every feeling of anxiety. You have seen kids who think, does that mean I have anxiety? No, that just means you're having a normal human emotion. So we'll talk about how do we have that balance and all kinds of things related to mental health. So I look forward to that. And even next week, we'll have a big focus on mental health. We've got some great shows lined up for you. And we'll be talking to Nicole Zazowski, who has been on the show before, a therapist who will talk about mental health. And I'll answer a lot of questions for you on Friday about what kind of mental health professional might be right for your family if you're in need. Another feature we'll have, I've already told you about, is the Declutter Diaries. We'll be featuring regularly Kathy Lipp, who will share with us some of those spiritual things that impact the way that we hold on for stuff. And you can expect us definitely to pray for you, to encourage you, to bless you, to every day we will speak blessings over you, and we are praying for you. And we will have guests with amazing stories who share what God is doing in their life. And that is so important, to us here to share that with you. In a world that has an avalanche of horrific headlines, we want to bring you good news of what God is doing in the world. And we'll see that next week. Some of our other guests we have will be the director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Josh Gilreath. Such a great conversation. I can't wait for you to hear that. We'll also talk to Rob Thornton, who is the voice behind the news here at AFR. And how do you develop healthy habits around your news consumption? So I'm excited about the way we're starting out this year. And you know, for me as a nurse practitioner, I've spent more than two decades now, I can't believe that, writing prescriptions to heal bodies. And I've even written prescriptions to heal minds and souls too. That's the wonderful thing about being a nurse practitioner and embracing holistic health. Sometimes my prescriptions are things like sunshine or a hug or time with a new puppy maybe. But over time, I really have realized the soul needs healing just as much, if not more than the body. And so here we are going to embrace a daily dose of hope and faith and encouragement to nourish our spirit, strengthen our journey. So each day I'll be offering you a little prescription for hope, just to help us shift our mindset, to anchor ourselves in God's promises, to move forward with courage and grace. It won't be complicated, just a simple faith-filled reminder rooted in scripture, practical wisdom, and the belief that God is with us in every moment, and we can have hope in that. So maybe your prescription will be to pause and breathe, to speak life over your situation, or just to trust that God is working all things for good, even if you can't see it right now. I think about the words from Waymaker, even if I don't see it, you're working. Even if I don't feel it, you're working, because God never stops working on our behalfs. Or so perhaps for me, like a good nurse, your prescription will be laughter and joy, because a cheerful heart is good medicine. After all, I firmly believe that. And friends, this life is not just about surviving the day. It's about thriving this year, thriving in the purpose that God has for you. And I'm so excited to take this journey together with you day by day, dose by dose, learning to embrace His hope in every aspect of our lives in a world that just seems so hopeless. So I'll be sharing those prescriptions with you this year, and I invite you to tune in, share it with your family, your friends, your community, and let's continue to build a community where we can encourage one another to live with hope and faith. And remember that you are loved and you are seen and you are cherished by a God who never fails. And so we can fill our hearts with hope and then carry that light into a world that is dark and in desperate need of hope. And so here's your prescription for today. I encourage you to let go of perfection and embrace progress with grace. Progress over perfection. That is the hope prescription for today. And too often we approach those New Year's resolutions as if they have to be perfect. But the truth is, our human nature isn't about perfection. It's about progress. It's about growth. It's about trusting God to help us along the way. So instead of seeing setbacks as failures, we view them as opportunities and invitations to grow in perseverance. One of my favorite scriptures from Romans chapter 5, we're reminded suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So this year, we don't have to worry about meeting every expectation perfectly. We're going to focus on the progress that we make together, the steps forward, even the little tiny ones, and rest in the grace God offers. So as you embrace or think about New Year's resolutions or not, just set your heart in a posture of faith. Don't aim for perfection. Aim for progress to become more like Christ, to love better, to live kinder, to forgive more quickly, to trust deeper. And most importantly, let God guide you through it all. He will give you the strength that you need one step at a time. So here is to 2025, a year of progress, not perfection. You have got this. And I'll be here cheering you on every step of the way. And friend, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow with more hope for healthy families. Happy New Year.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.